Okay, good morning. Welcome back to Living with Emuna. Please help yourself to coffee, pastry, slushy, soup in a Reb Shaila corner here at PRS. Want to thank our Emuna series sponsors, as always, our dear friends Dr. Avi and Bella Morgan for their tremendous generosity in sponsoring our Emuna Shir in memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit, in memory of Bella's mother, Dr. Ellen Shanzer. We remain very grateful to them. We also are grateful to the co-series sponsor, anonymously, in honor of the 30 fallen soldiers and alumni of B'nai David Mechina, the yeshiva in Eli, a very special place. 30 who fell on October 7th and during the war. Each week we're highlighting another one of those precious soldiers, Hashem Yikom Damom. And this week it's Major Dr. Eitan Menachem Ne'eman, who was 45 years old, a Yale-educated combat doctor in the IDF's 551st Brigade from the yeshiv of Tene. He was killed on October 9th while battling Hamas terrorists near the Israeli settlement of Kfar Aza. Dr. Ne'eman had spent October 7th treating hundreds of injured soldiers, Israelis, who flooded the trauma room at Soroka Hospital, where he had headed the pediatric trauma department. He's survived by his wife Yael, their 7 children, his mother, and his 5 older sisters. They should all find, please God, nechama and strength through his memory. This morning, Shir is also sponsored by Neil Weinreb in honor of the Yahrzeit sites this week of his mother, Sarabas Yisrael Weinreb, and his grandfather, Yaakov Leib Ben Eliyahu Akain, a Kohen Weinreb. Okay, we begin as we always do with some letters and correspondence, and then we will get back into the text that we're learning, the wonderful Sefer Sha'arei Tfila of Rav David Avuchatzera. So here we go, letter number 1. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, I want to share a cute Emunah story. Who doesn't love a cute Emunah story? I want to share a cute Emunah story. My sister recently came from out of town to visit. Her flight had multiple delays and was almost canceled, but she told me she listened to one of your shiurim during the wait and remained completely calm throughout. When she finally surrendered in her mind that whatever would happen from Hashem, they suddenly announced her flight was boarding. I'll tell you, I try to practice what I preach. I traveled this week, Baruch Hashem, at a wedding Sunday in New York. Travel gives you the opportunity to exercise your Emunah muscle each and every time. It's an unbelievable thing. Government shutdown, no government shutdown, weather, no weather. Going to New York, we had such turbulence. There was a woman screaming on the plane. That was exciting. But with Hashem's the pilot, you don't get too exercised, you know. You practice hishtavus. Everything's, it's a smooth, always a smooth ride. That's hishtavus. We learned about hishtavus. Hishtavus is you never get too high, you never get too low. Hakosh shaveh, equanimity, it's all equal to me. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid. When Hashem is opposite you always, when you realize that Hashem is the pilot wherever you're going, so the ride is always smooth. To others, it may register as bumpy. Others may be screaming and yelling, but if you realize Hashem is the pilot, then the ride is always smooth. And then on the way back, I made a terrible amateur miscalculation. I probably shouldn't even say this out loud. I'm embarrassed and humiliated. I stayed at my daughter on Sunday night in Passaic, and the flights, I wanted to just see my grandchildren in the morning, just a little bit play with them. So the flight a little bit later was from LaGuardia instead of Newark. And for some reason, even though I grew up in that area, I looked online, and I'm like, okay, LaGuardia geographically is actually closer to Passaic than Newark. So I'm going to fly out of there, and it'll give me a little time to play with my grandchildren. An hour and 30-minute Uber ride later, LaGuardia made by the, how do they call that? The way the crow flies? Something like that? It might geographically be closer, but on no planet is it closer. Anyway, so I'm watching my Uber destinate the time go up and up and up. And the flight, and the flight, and the flight. But when you teach and when you live with Emunah, it's all good. But every time you'll get there, you meant to get there, whether the flight you'll get on, you won't get on. These are the little things in life, opportunities to exercise your Emunah muscle. My sister, back to the email. My sister was the cute email. My sister was also very excited to share with me that you have a new granddaughter named Kayla Emunah. I too have a Kayla Emunah. She'll be turning 4 next month. She's the light of our lives. We wish the same nachas and joy from your Kayla Emunah that we are blessed to have from ours. So we Baruch Hashem have a Kayla Emunah. I call her Emunah. Everyone else calls her Kayla. But that's for another time. Now for the story. My sister very much wanted to go to the OL on Sunday morning. Despite a few scheduling conflicts, we managed to get on the road from New Jersey at 8 a.m. We arrived before 9. We rode our Kvitalov, spent some time saying Tehillim in the OL. While my sister and I are very close, we're also very different. So it was deeply meaningful to share that experience together. We both had a lot to daven for, and we each daven not only for ourselves, for one another as well. Following week, I went to the bank to deposit some cash. Parnassa is one of my sticking points with Hashem, and one of the things I daven for most intensely at the Ohel. As it began the deposit, the ATM was acting up, spitting out bills and forcing me to feed them back in one by one. A small line was forming behind me, and I didn't want to hold anyone up, so I finally clicked finish deposit, even though not all the bills had gone through. When I looked at the screen, I saw the total deposited. Anyone want to guess? That's right, $770. I couldn't help but laugh out loud. It felt like Hashem was sending me a clear and loving message. I read your letter. I heard your tefillos. I hear you. All is good and all will be good. Thank you for the shiurim, constantly helping us see Hashem's hand in the small everyday moments of life. So she davened at the Ohel Parnassa, went to the bank, and coincidentally, nothing is coincidentally, how much did she deposit? For those who don't know, 770 is the address in Crown Heights of Lubavitch. It's a significant number, 770. Okay, we have our latest Psalm 23 sighting. Every week now, this is the new. We saw the guy with the jersey, number 23 Psalm. We saw the license plate. We saw, what was last week? Every week there's another sighting. I hope this email finds you well. I've been meaning to write for a meaningful long time. Never got to it. I enjoy when I share a message. I've gained and grown so much that I started listening 10 months ago. The past couple of weeks we've been learning about, there's so many letters to read and so much learning to do. You got to listen later on half speed, Penny. The past couple of weeks we've been learning about and mentioning the pasuk Hashem ro'i lo echzar. Hashem ro'i lo echzar, again, we've been learning over and over again, means not only that I don't lack because whatever Hashem gives me I'm meant to have, but the ultimate hope Hashem ro'i lo echzar is lo echzar, let me never be lacking, that Hashem is my shepherd. Wherever I go, whatever I'm going through, let me realize that He's my shepherd. He's guiding me. He's caring for me. He's carrying me. That I'm never lacking. Let me never be lacking. I mentioned yesterday in the Parsha Shir what we had learned together in the Amunah Shir, this week's Parsha. When Yitzchak davens lenochach ishto, the Zera Kodesh, the Holy Rapshtza, repunctuated the Pasuk. Vayetar Yitzchak kama lashem lenochach ishto. What Yitzchak davened was that while we're going through this struggle, while we're going through this challenge, while we're going through this difficult time, let it not be compounded by not only the difficult time, but losing Hashem. So therefore, Hashem, lenochach ishto. While my wife is struggling, let her first of all conceive, let her have a child. But in the interim, while she's struggling, may Hashem be opposite her always. May this struggle not cost her relationship with Hashem. So we learned, Hashem ro'i lo echzar, let me never be lacking, that He's my shepherd. Different people have shared how they've seen reminders of this in their life. I don't know if this qualifies to be read in the shir. I guess it does. But I'll share how I saw this pasuk in my life. As I listened to this idea one Wednesday on my drive back from an appointment that left me feeling upset and just feeling bad about where Hashem put me at this point in my life, I reminded of this important lesson. I try every night to read some Torah thought before going to bed. That night when I opened up Rabbi David Satton's daily Pesukim of Bitachon, it was a coincidence that this pasuk of Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack, was the one I was up to that night. In the moment, I was still feeling upset, but in the hindsight, I'm able to see the hug and kiss from Hashem. So she listened to the shir that day, was upset about something that had happened, got into bed, and what page was she up to? Hashem ro'i lo echzar. Okay, so challenge. Next week, you're on. Somebody find, what is the next sighting of Hashem ro'i lo echzar? Additionally, since today you mentioned the idea of ways and what we can learn, I wanted to share with you what my mom always taught me regarding this idea, which has helped me as I wait for my Yeshua, for my answer. She said many times in life we're on the map of ways and we don't know our ETA. It could very well be that we're minutes away from our destination, but we don't always know, and it can be frustrating when you're sitting in the driver or passenger seat not knowing. So too with life. When we're waiting for a zivug, a child, test result, we could be a minute away. The Yeshua can be around the corner. Chavit, can you take care of this? But we have to recognize that, like you said, Hashem is the satellite and He sees that we're so close. We have to trust that we're almost there and His timing is always perfect. Also, just to mention, I was so moved and inspired by the story of the soldier who turned down the music request. Thank you for helping me grow in my emunah. Okay, another beautiful email. This email is a few months late, but ever since this experience happened, I felt I needed to share it with you. Yeshurim have changed my mindset. I thought you should know. I live in Yerushalayim. When Israel preemptively attacked Iran on a Thursday night, the following Friday was an extremely stressful day. We waited for Iran's response. We all knew this would be different from previous attacks. It might last longer, and it might be more serious. That Friday morning, we received an alert advising us to stay near a bomb shelter. Hundreds of drones were on their way. Since we had a few hours before they were expected to arrive, it's just a bizarre world we live in. got an alert, hundreds of drones are on their way. You have some time, take care of a few things. I used the morning to prepare everything for Shabbos. The food, the hot water urn, the hot plate, so that if we ended up spending hours in the shelter, we'd still be ready once Shabbos began. When everything was finally ready, I took my sitter and began Shacharis. I know I probably should have done it earlier, but I was in full fight or flight mode. I guess when you get a text saying hundreds of drones are on their way to kill you and your family, you have an excuse if you took a few more minutes to daven Shacharis. That is much better than the dog ate my homework. That's a legit. During the Amidah, I paused to say a personal prayer, but only the words that came to me were, Hashem hu Elokim. There was nothing else to say. Just deep awareness that Hashem, you made this happen. You're in control. You got this. I kept reading those words over and over. Hashem hu Elokim. And just as I finished saying them, I got a notification on the phone. I checked it in case we needed to run to the shelter. I was stunned to see the event has ended. All the drones have been intercepted before reaching Israel. I had to reread it several times in disbelief. And then I started to cry. It felt like a clear wink from Hashem. Hashem hu Elokim. She finished the words, Hashem hu Elokim, and got the alert, all clear. Hashem had taken care of all the drones. Thanks to the Shirim, I was able to see the wink for what it was. A reminder, Hashem runs the world. I truly feel calm and reassured, knowing He is in charge. I knew the situation wasn't over. Difficult days still lay ahead, but in the moment, I felt Hashem was showing me in the most direct way possible. I got this. I'm behind you all. Okay. So many emails, Baruch Hashem. I want to share a story with you on behalf of someone very close to me. My father suffered from a particular illness many years. He recently received a medical emergency bracelet. If he presses it, the company calls my mother first, then my sibling, and no one answers, then dispatches EMS. Last week, I was sitting in the Beis Din in Yerushalayim, waiting to finalize a long overdue case after 15 truly exhausting years. I was waiting for the other party, who should have been there but was late. Meanwhile, at that exact moment, my mother was elsewhere, was woken up at 2:15 by a call from an unfamiliar Florida number. She assumed it was spam and ignored it, as did my siblings. 10 minutes later, at 2:25 a.m., she was startled awake by the loud banging on the front door and the shouts of EMS. We understand there's an emergency. She realized the bracelet must have triggered accidentally and explained the situation before they broke down the door, something which they would have otherwise been authorized to do. Still shaken, she looked at the clock. 2:35 a.m., exactly the time I was literally pleading with the Dayanim not to postpone the case. She told me later, if Hashem woke me up at this hour, it's the perfect time for me to say Tehillim for you. And so she did. Half a world away, at the very moment, things were most tense on my side. Baruch Hashem, the other party arrived, the Dayanim agreed to proceed, and we were able to complete everything. So what a wild case, no? He's in Yerushalayim, needing tefillos. On this side, the emergency bracelet was pressed by accident, so they were awoken. And once they were awoken, they used that time to say Tehillim, not knowing over there it was the exact time. P.S. I started listening to the Emunah Shiurim a few months ago. I realized it was time to move forward. My observance isn't as strong as it once was, but as I went through this, a lot of anger I'd been holding towards Hashem started to soften. In a strange way, I finally feel free to take control of my life again, which is a very beautiful idea. Thank you so much. Okay. Okay, now I want to read before we get back to our learning. Because this is the gift that in some ways keeps on giving. I shared in the Emunah Shir first, and then I wrote it as the article a couple weeks ago, and I've been getting a lot of feedback. The person who wrote me the letter on Erev Rosh Hashanah, essentially expressing their anger, their disappointment, their frustration, their hurt, their feeling of abandonment by Hashem, and telling Hashem that they're turning away from Him, they're done with Him, they're moving on. Even though they came to shul that night and the next morning and every day since, they kept on davening. Told the Elie Wiesel story about the trial, putting God on trial, finding Him guilty, and then continuing to daven. And countless people have been reaching out. I shared also my response to that young man, that I read his email, his letter to God, not as a failure or breakdown of Amunah, but as a profound expression of faith. Because you're not angry at someone you don't believe exists, and therefore that real and raw and authentic emotional roller coaster and tension with Hashem is reflective of a genuine and honest relationship, which is really what Amunah is all about. And again, I'm not here encouraging everyone, have your moment, have your fight, write your letter to Hashem, telling Him off, otherwise you haven't really lived with Amunah. Chas v'shalom. If you're good, Baruch Hashem, you're good. But what it does, what I do want to say is, it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to sometimes feel hurt, broken, abandoned, and use that to channel, to come back, to rebuild, to come forward, not to become more distanced. And that was the letter that I wrote back to this individual. I encouraged him, come to shul, and if you can't open the sitter, read this letter over and over, because it's raw and it's real, and it's an authentic expression to Hashem. And countless people who have gone through the journeys of their lives that have left them in that same place have shared with me. So one email: thank you for posting the story and your response and insights. I could have written that email myself, as I feel almost to the letter the same as the anonymous writer. Your words gave me the chizik to go back to shul for the first time in almost 7 months. But just for Kiddush, I'm not ready to daven yet. And I'm unfortunately confident this fellow and I are not alone. There are many, possibly thousands. I'm still mostly Shomer Shabbos. I'm dealing with Hashem on my own terms now. I have a lot of struggles, but I've not received any rabbinic or religious guidance other than, I'm sorry you're having such a hard time. Life can be hard. Maybe try to do an extra mitzvah or a chesed, or learn more, or write a gratitude journal. That just doesn't cut it. I've worked so hard to be a firm Jew, a dedicated husband and father, but I truly appreciate your taking a public stand to say that people like me need to be accepted and not shunned or ignored or feel embarrassed for being angry. I'm not looking for the community to pity me. I'm not rebellious. I'm not trying to make up different rules. I truly believe in Hashem and His Torah and the purpose of the Jewish people, but it's hard to make sense of all the pains that I tell and to see what Jews and people all around the world are going through. So it's hard to feel I make a difference in Hashem's master plan, or I should try any more to stay connected to Yiddishkeit. Thank you for helping me understand I'm not a failure. I do have hope that I can work my way back to caring, but mostly it will not be through the traditional channels. There are many people going through these experiences. Another one: I really enjoy your shir, the Emunah stories, but the shir on anger most recently really hit home. I'm finding it really hard not to look at other people's success and lives without wanting that for myself. I would never want to chas v'shalom give anyone ayin hara. I know Hashem gives each person what is meant for them. But like the person in the anger shir said, why does a God who can give everything give some people more than others? I know we all get what we need, but realistically, we all need partners and children and health and parnasa. And yet Hashem doesn't give that to everyone. How does Amunah fit into this feeling of jealous? It's really hard to remember that Hashem has a plan. What if I don't like Hashem's plan for me? What if I want Hashem's plan for someone else? Why do some people deserve more than others? How am I meant to use Amunah when I'm feeling like this? I'm not sure it makes sense, but I take a lot from the shir. I appreciate some clarity on feeling this way. There are so many people struggling, so many people feeling this way. And the answer is not to push them away or make them feel shame or make them feel bad or make them feel guilty. The answer is to validate, to make them feel it's legit, it's understandable, but to not be a warrior, to be a warrior, to not allow these feelings to create distance, but to allow them to propel you to come closer. To be able to, this is exactly what we're learning about and we'll return to right now, to daven, to have greater emunah. When a person's emunah is feeling compromised or broken, to actually not use that as a reason to close the sitter or tehillim or to stay silent, but to propel and to push you to daven. Hashem, let me see you clearly. Let me feel you. Hold me up. Let me understand why you're doing this in my life. One more. I've got a 4-page dissertation. And I read every single letter and word and sentence in it. And it's a story of a person's life that absolutely blew me away, had an enormous impact on me. And I can't and won't read the whole thing, and I don't have, he gave me permission to excerpt part of it. But he too tells the story. I was angry at Hashem, not raging angry, I just didn't care about him anymore. I knew he put me through these tough times, and I associated my relationship with him with pain and sadness. And in so many ways, I still do. I knew that he gave me a shot, a vaccine of sorts to heal me, but it was painful. It lasted so many years. I was young and dumb and searching for something bigger. Why did he have to hurt me? My life was moving forward in a positive way, and to allow myself to go back to that time and place and feel those feelings was off limits. With the help of my amazing wife, therapy, the Emunah Shir, I found the courage to go back The letter you read a few weeks ago of the individual who suffered so much pain from Hashem spoke to me so deeply. Listening to those words was exactly what I have to say to Hashem, and so much more for so many years. It's exactly how I felt, but I always felt bad saying it out loud. After all, who am I to talk to God? But you know what you did for me? Maybe He should understand too. And then I heard you say that this individual actually had such a special relationship with Hashem. And I wondered if I had the same. I listened to you talk about how He controls everything in our life. I listened to how you talk about Emunah for hours. And after all these years and all this pain and all the trauma, I finally said to myself, I have no idea why I went through what I did. Why I got to a point where the pain was so unbearable that I considered whether I wanted to continue my life. But that somehow the same way, in some way, it was exactly how my life was supposed to be. It was exactly written for me. And so I let go and I let God and I stopped worrying and I started worrying. I stopped worrying and I started worrying. And as I write this letter, I can tell you that I've connected in ways I never felt in my life. By accepting the fact that I don't know why my life was and is the way it was and is, but it always has been and currently is and always will be exactly what my Father, my God, wants it to be, I'm finally able to see mercy in Hashem, able to see mercy in myself. I have a long way to go, but I have moments of feeling so connected it's hard to put into words. Being able to release all that pain and hurt towards Hashem that I held inside for so many years, it's extremely valuable and validating. Hearing your interpretation of that email is even more important. I want to thank you for the kind words to people struggling. You didn't point a finger, and you didn't shame. You did the exact opposite. You pointed out how deep and powerful the relationship is. And as a result, at least one of your other listeners has been able to somewhat heal from years of trauma. Hashem should continue to give many more years of shiurim, and one of these days I'll make an effort to meet you in person in Boca Raton. I want to end by sending a message similar to what the other individual wrote, but from the opposite side of the spectrum. And again, I want to thank you and thank the writer for sharing that letter. I'm only able to do this because of that. And so he shared his own letter to Hashem. Hashem, I can't believe I'm saying this to you, but I finally found the strength to do so. You've harassed me. You've harassed me, you hurt me, you terrorized me, and most of all, you allowed me to suffer alone, in quiet and isolation. You taunted me and left me with scars. You made me feel worthless and meaningless. You didn't show me the light, and even as I cried to you in pain, you stood there smiling with cruelty and made my suffering even worse. You pushed me to the point of no return, and it felt like you then kept pushing. And all I can say is, thank you. I don't really get why you did it. I can maybe see how and why in some minor ways, but I still don't really get it. And I may never really know in this world. However, I believe that you did to me exactly what I needed. I believe that you were there the whole time. And that you were not just holding my hand, but holding me. I return to you fully. And I say, please continue to help me. Hopefully from here on in, it won't be as painful. But hopefully if pain comes, I'll be much more prepared to deal with it. Namely, that I hope that I can let go and let God. Please, Hashem, help me let go and let God. Hashem, please stay with me. Help me find you. Help me heal. Help me move forward and continue to build. What a letter. And that's exactly what we're learning. That's what Rav David Avuchatzir is saying, is to take the pain and turn it into prayer. Don't walk away from the Emunah, lean in closer. Be angry. Be validated in that anger. The Tzad Hashava, the common denominator of all these emails, I've barely read you any. I've gotten on WhatsApp and I've gotten an email. I've gotten from all over. And the common theme of all was, everywhere else it's making me feel shame and guilt and feeling alone for how I feel. And the beginning of the way back is to feel validated and to say it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to feel abandoned or angry. The question is what you do with it, how you channel it, where you go with it. In this long email dissertation, he tells a great idea, which I'll use to then transition back into our learning. A mashal of a man who came to Shemayim after 120, and they showed him his life in pictures. In each picture, there were two sets of footsteps, one of the man's and one of Hashem's, as Hashem was with him throughout his life. And then the man got to the scenes of life that were particularly challenging, and lo and behold, there were only one set of footsteps, Upset by this, the man turns to Hashem and asks why Hashem left at these points. Why he left and why was he all alone? After all, these were the most difficult times. This is when he needed Hashem more than ever. If anything, this is when he needed Hashem in his corner. Hashem looked back at him and he smiled. You have it all wrong, Yidla. During those moments, you only see one set of footsteps because I was carrying you. The rest of the time in your life I was with you, I walked with you by your side. But in the most challenging times, it was I who carried you. I held you like a mother holds her child. So sometimes, during those very moments where you feel like there's only one set of footsteps, it's because of those very moments a person is being carried. I wish I could frame this one. It's an unbelievable, unbelievable letter. They're all unbelievable letters. Please keep writing them. You make the Emunah Shir. All of you who write these letters and send these letters, I have the privilege of just reading them. Maybe too fast, but I have the privilege of just reading them. But all the people who are writing them, you make the Emunah Shir. And I can't emphasize this strongly enough. How often I get an email that says, the last person who wrote a letter changed my life. It's not me. So if you're feeling it, and you have the courage, and the conviction, and the calmness, and the clarity to write it, write it. Write it for you, because I think that process is important. And write it for me, because I have an Emunah Shir to give. And write it for the people listening, because you never know which letter is going to hit what person right when they need it. And it literally has the ability to change and impact lives. Is there anything more meaningful than several people who write, I heard that letter and the response to it, and I went back to shul? It starts with Kiddush. They'll make their way back into shul. It starts one day a week, making it more often. So we're on page Kuf Chav Zayin 127, Shari Tefillah of the great Rav David Avuchatzera. Again, want to thank our anonymous donor who gave us 75 copies of the Sefer. And we're exactly on the top of the right-hand column. Bekach, Perush. And this is the interpretation of the Heilig Yismach Moshe. I don't know if you heard, we went to Ukraine and Hungary this past summer. I'm just joking, it's because I don't stop talking about it. So we were at the kever of the great Yismach Moshe, the Heilig Yismach Moshe. So the Yismach Moshe, in his commentary, Tefillah LeMoshe on Tehillim, he writes the following. Habakasha shemavakshim sabeinu mituvecha. We say it in our davening on Shabbos. Sabeinu mituvecha. Sabeinu means make me feel satisfied mituvecha from your good. Kihine hagam ki bevadei kodesh baruch hu osa tovos b'chol eis. God does good at all moments and at all times. Ki amreinu ve'al nisecha shebechol yom imanu ve'al niflo secha v'tovos secha shebechol eis. We say in modim, one of my personal favorite prayers. You have to concentrate in modim every day. Pause and say, thank you. There is so much to be grateful and thankful for. With all that's missing and all we need and all we want and all we wish we had, if you pause to realize what's there. We woke up today. I have my faculties, a roof over my head, a car to drive. I have whatever I have. On the secha shebechol yom imanu. The miracles of every day. V'al niflo secha, on the wonders. V'tovo secha. And your goodness, b'chol eis, rak she'enanu margishim behem. Problem is, we don't feel them. We take them for granted. How many of you, how many of us, actually pause today to say, thank God I can see. Both my eyes are working. Thank God I can walk. Thank God I can. It's when the person needs the knee replacement or the hip replacement or the this replacement or the that replacement. That's when they say, it takes me forever to get from here to there. I took for granted the ability to walk. I remember several years ago when I tore my Achilles playing ball, I had to have surgery. And it was miserable. 6 months of rehab and casts and soft casts and hard casts and after the surgery. And I'll never forget the first morning I got up and I tried to go with my cup of coffee, but I was on this knee scooter and I couldn't hold the cup of coffee and go on the new scooter. And I just felt, how did I take for granted the ability to just carry a cup of coffee from one corner to the next? It's a small, tiny, but you know what it is? It's a miracle. Al nisecha shebechol yom imanu. The ability that your Achilles work. Your Achilles work. The Achilles, the tendon in the back of the calf that allows your little foot to hold up your tall, big body in equilibrium and balance. It's unbelievable. If I give anyone here the exercise, if I give anyone here the homework, He said, go to Lowe's, go to Home Depot, buy the materials, and build a golem. Build a robot. Build something that is tall and heavy and weighs whatever it does. None of us will say ours right now. And the foot, whatever size you are, 9, 10, 11, a foot, 12 inches long. And have that hold up the entire body using a tendon in the back of the leg. That's a miracle. It's really hard. I couldn't do it if I spent my whole life on it. I have no idea where to begin. It's a miracle. And we wake up in the morning, we put our feet on the ground, we stand up, we take steps, we can balance with a cup of coffee and not spill it on ourselves or others, and we just run and we just go do it and we don't think about it and we never say thank you for it. And you know when you realize it? When you tear your Achilles. When you rip your Achilles. And when you have to have surgery to put back your Achilles and you can't walk. And now you're on a new knee scooter. And I fell off that knee scooter so many times. My children have a collage of videos from the shul security cameras, from our home, of me falling off that new scooter. Because you got to go slowly. And I don't move in life slowly. And I couldn't move. And you fly. And it was miserable. And I still, to this day, now years later, try to remember and say, thank you. I can walk. I can carry. I can balance. These are nisecha shebechol yom imanu. Niflo secha v'tovosecha shebechol eis. These are miracles and wonders in every moment. But ein anu margishim b'hem. We don't feel them. We don't notice them. We don't pause to say thank you for them. K'mavur b'mesecha Shabbos. V'yeshuas Yisrael. G'mon Shabbos daf yud gimel. V'yeshuas Yisrael p'amashim megula p'amashim mechusa. And the miraculous salvation, the answer that Hashem provides, that sometimes is revealed and sometimes is hidden. Ukshi megula, him mosifa simcha, lahaliv alev la'avodas yisbarach. And when it is a revealed wonder, then we see it. And then it increases the joy and the happiness of the heart to serve Him. So Iran launches hundreds of drones and ballistic missiles, and they're knocked out of the sky using a technology the whole world said was impossible to build. It's the open revealed hand of Hashem. It's a revealed miracle. V'zeh shanam avaksham tshirtiyah Yeshua megula v'nizba mimena al derech sham rechazal sh'asum akeven she'enu roa ena saveya v'lachein anu mavaksham lirosa v'lizba mituva. These words that we say, sabeinu mituvecha, it means, let us be gratified and satisfied from your goodness. Unlike the hidden miracles that we don't see, we don't know, and we can't be thankful for, let us see and know and notice, let us appreciate and articulate with gratitude the good that you are doing. It's a tefillah that we're living with emunah. Sabeinu mituvecha. It's a whole new taich, the Heilige Yismach Moshe. Did I mention we went to his kever this summer? The great Yismach Moshe. The Heilige Yismach Moshe. It's a new taich, a new explanation. Until now, we understood the word Sabeinu mituvecha. Hashem, I could walk around hungry with an empty stomach. Or Sabeinu mituvecha, fill up my belly. Give me a great steak, potatoes, onions. Give me some good Sabeinu. Fill up my bank account. Fill up my stomach. Fill up my home. Fill up my life with your goodness. Sabeinu mituvecha. I want bracha. I want the flow of blessing. That's the simple understanding. Comes along the Heilige Yismach Moshe, and he says, no. Pshat is, Tuvecha is already coming. Sabeinu. Let me be satisfied and gratified by it. Let me see it. Let me notice it. Let it register with me. Let me appreciate it. Sabeinu mituvecha. Let me live a life of emunah. Let me see through emunah glasses. Let me feel your hand everywhere. Let me not take anything for granted. From the ability to pour a cup of coffee and carry it for myself, to the ability to walk, the ability that both of my eyes I can see, the ability that I can drive, the ability that I can... These are miracles. A man in our shul recently turned 95. We kinai nahara b'li ayin hara al tiftach pel satan. We have a minion of people, 90 and over. A couple over 100. Kenai Nahara Kein Yirbu. We're living in, talk about miraculous times. That alone, the longevity is unbelievable. This 95-year-old renewed his driver's license recently, and he told me in the options, he qualified, he passed. He's very strong. He's a very special person in our community. He's strong. He leads davening, a loud voice. He sees clearly. He passed to be able to renew his driver's license. And he told me, this is also such a like Jewish idea of faith and optimism and hope. In the options it gives you, he checked off, he renewed it, for 10 more years. 10 more years. 10 more years. Halavai. Halavai. 10 more years. 10 more years. So, you know, until in life, sometimes someone takes away the keys. It's a very hard thing for people. When the children or grandchildren or the neighbor, or sometimes they ask the rabbi, it's time to take away the keys. If no one took your keys, you could drive, you can see, you could press on the pedal. When I tore my Achilles, it was in my right leg. I had to learn to drive with my left foot. I wasn't supposed to drive. I just learned to drive with my left foot. It might have been safer though when I drive with my right foot. When you can drive with the correct foot, you can see these are miracles. So that's the tefillah sabeinu mituvecha. The tuvechas come in either way. I see it, I don't see it, I notice it, I don't notice it. It registers with me, it doesn't register with me. So I ask Hashem sabeinu, please Hashem, help me live and lead a life that's sabeinu. I am filled and gratified, I'm satisfied in seeing you everywhere. Thank you, Hashem. This amazing cup of coffee, this great parking spot, this flight. No one ever tells the story of the flight. Took off on time, landed on time, had no turbulence. I had my drink, I had my snack, the Wi-Fi was working, there was an empty seat next to me. No one ever gets off such a plane and tells such a story. That's Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. These are miracles in our time. For it all to come together and work out, that combination I just told you. We took off on time, landed on time, there was no turbulence, I had an empty seat next to me, the Wi-Fi was working, everything was good. That combination, it might be as miraculous as the hundreds of drones from Iran. It's a close second. But nobody gets off the plane, you're just on to the next thing. Am I taking an Uber or are you picking me up from the airport? Where do I have to go? What's the next appointment? What's next? Does anyone ever stop on the tarmac, stop and say, oh, Shkoyach Hashem, Sab'einu mituvecha. I am Saveya. I'm so gratified and satisfied from your goodness. Thank you. Thank you there was no traffic. Thank you carpool worked out on time. Thank you the cake came out of the oven and it looks good. Sab'einu mituvecha. Thank you the deal went through. Thank you my paycheck was deposited. Thank you. Sab'einu mituvecha. Thank you I can carry the cup of coffee. Says the Yismach Moshe, Sabeinu mituvecha isn't just the ego, I need more and more and more. Sabeinu, please help me if you're satisfied, more and more and more. Sabeinu mituvecha is, we have what we need, we have what's coming to us, we have what's right to us. The tuvecha, that's automatic. The tuvecha is from Hashem. The tuvecha is Koman de'avid rachman latav avid. The tuvecha is from Hashem. What we're asking for is, Sabeinu. Let it register. Let me have a hasaga. Let me have a hasaga. In the brachas, in Parshas Kisavo, in the Tochacha, before the harsh rebuke, the Torah tells us, Baruch Atah B'Vo'echa, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, there's a long list of blessings, the blessings that we merit to get. And among those blessings it says, all these wonderful things will happen, Baruch Pri Vitnecha, Pri Admasecha, you'll be fertile, you'll propagate, your family will be healthy and happy and parnasa, wonderful blessings, great things. Uva alacha kol habrachos ha'eileh, all these blessings will come upon you. V'hisigucha. Was means to v'hisigucha? What does the word v'hisigucha mean? All these blessings will come upon you and v'hisigucha. V'hisigucha. What's v'hisigucha? If all the brachos came upon me, what do I need another blessing? What's v'hisigucha? What's v'hisigucha? So at my brother's Shabbos Sheva brachos, Hishfer, Rabbi Lerner, Zolzayin Gesund und Stark, the great, wonderful Rabbi Lerner, should be well told over the following. I quoted it over from, I believe, from Rabbi Sirotskin. Hisigucha comes milashon that the Ravid has a hasaga on the Rambam. To be masig, a hasaga, is to grasp, is to understand, is to analyze, is to appreciate. A hasaga. Hisigucha mi ubar alacha kol habrachos. You're going to have all these blessings. But you know what the most important blessing of having all the blessings is? That you see the blessings. How many people who have the most blessed lives walk around the most miserable? And you want to say to them, you want to shake them. Look at your life. You have so much bracha. There's so much blessing. I understand. You wish you could tweak this. And you wish you could have a little more of that. And you wish a little less of that. But look how much blessing you have in your life. Are you out of your mind? You're risking it all by not appreciating it. You could lose it all by the fact that it doesn't register with you. Uva alacha kol habracha ze'ela, let all these blessings come upon, v'hi sigucha hava hasaga. Go through life, let it register that you have all these blessings. Yeah, this could be a little, I wish my knee didn't ache. I wish the back was a little, I wish I slept a little better. I wish, you know, nobody guaranteed all these parts. When you got your body for free, you paid nothing for it. You got this incredible body. Whatever a phone or a laptop or a car costs, your body is infinitely more complex. And how much did you pay for it? Garnished. Nothing. Not originally. There's no annual payment. There's no renewal. There's no upgrade. You got your body for free. So I have a little secret for you. It didn't come with any warranty on the parts. And those parts lasted much longer than they should in many cases. David HaMelech says that if you make it to 70 years, it's a long life. It's a long life. Today's day and age, Baruch Hashem, with the gift of longevity that we have, 70 years, it's a tragedy. Chalila, somebody passed away at 70, we say, it's a tragedy. It's premature, it's a tragedy. But David HaMelech said, 70 years already, it's a good life. So the parts made it past 70, you never had a warranty, but certainly the warranty expired. So if you need something replaced at 80, at 90, at 90, like what do we think? That it's all going to be in perfect working order forever? It's going to start to break down and fail. It's the way it is. A little pain, a little ache, a little krechts, a little... It's harder to remember everything. It's harder to see as far as you used to see. Baruch Hashem, I had the great bracha this past Sunday. One of my favorite kibbutzim, I'm called up to read the ksuba. I love reading a ksuba. It's fun. I love reading a ksuba. The letters of this ksuba were so small. I'm 50 now. And as much as I don't bring my glasses to the shiurim because I'm still in denial and I don't want anyone to see, yesterday at the parsha they came out a little bit. I'm slowly coming to grips with it. I got up there to read that ksuba. I was like, uh-oh. You know, your arm, they stop here. That's when you need the reading glasses. How do you know? I asked the ophthalmologist, how do I know when I need the reading glasses? He said, the book's going to move further and further away from you. And when you run out of arms, that's when you need the reading glasses. That's how you know. That's how you know. So the eyes, they didn't come with a warranty. They didn't come with a warranty. You know what you'd have to pay for these lenses? If you went on Amazon, if you went to the electronics store, you know what you'd have to pay for these lenses, for these eyes? You got them for free. And you've had them 50 years for free. Every year renewed, upgraded. You never had to never paid a penny. There's no warranty. Okay. That's, wow. It means you're alive. Baruch Hashem. This aches, that hurts a little bit. Maybe even that needs to, Baruch Hashem. That means you're alive. That means you're still here. That's the way it's supposed to go. That's what's supposed to happen. Sab'enu mituvecha. Uva alacha kol habracha sa'ila v'hi sigucha. Register the brachas. Okay. You wear reading glasses. Not the end of the world. You're aging. People are trying to turn back the clock. We gave that shir on Simchas Torah. It doesn't matter. I'm not criticizing anyone. Everyone do what they feel they need to do. Everyone's in a different place of life. God bless. God bless. Men, women. But the rate, it doesn't matter how much you color the hair, how much the Botox, how much this treatment, how much of that shot. You can't turn back the clock. You can't stop. Father time, mother time, I don't remember which gender time is. And you're not supposed to gender anyway, so time, they, whatever time is. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. You can't turn it back. You can't slow it down. You know, you could try. You may be fooling people. You're not fooling people, but you can't. You can't. The parts don't work better just because, you know, you made them a different color. It doesn't. The parts are still expiring. They're still expiring. Embrace the part. Embrace your age. It's Baruch Hashem. Embrace. I have the opportunity. Embrace. Sabeinu mituvacha. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. This year is in memory of my dear and beloved friend, my brother, Brian Gappett. I'll end with this. I used to dread birthdays. I was that kind of person who was like, oh, I'm that age, and you're getting older, and you're turning that decade, and now you're... And when Brian's neshama left his body, when he left this world, every year after I say, a birthday? Let's celebrate. I'm still here. Well, you're so annoyed. You turned 40, you turned 50, you turned 80, you turned 90. Are you out of your mind? Streamers and balloons. Sabeinu mituvecha.
I can't believe I'm this age. Shh, don't tell anyone.
Scream it from the rooftops that age. Look that age. Be proud to look that age. Be grateful to be that age. Sabenu mituvecha. Enough already. You're not fooling anyone anyway. Sabenu mituvecha. Sabenu mituvecha. Lean into it. It's amazing and it's fantastic and it's wonderful. And Sabenu, says the Yismach Moshe, Sabenu, ubo alacha kol habracha sa'ela, hisigucha. Life is filled with so much bracha. Let us have a hasaga. Let's grasp. Let's hold on. So that's what we're davening for. You have to daven. If we're not, if we're struggling, ask Hashem for help. Hashem, help me see the bracha. I'm somebody who struggles, Hashem. That's what tefillah is for. Hashem, help me. I see what's missing, what's lacking, what hurts, where I have the ache, where I have the pain, what I wish was different, Hashem. That I see all clearly. Hashem, help me see you. Help me feel the bracha. Help me feel connected. That's why we're learning this. That's what Rav David Avuchatzir is getting at. That's the Yismach Moshe and the Zerah Kodesh. Hashem nochach ishto. Yitzchak was saying, Hashem, Rivka right now, she's in a bad place. She just wrote a letter to Rabbi Goldberg's Amunashir. Rivka's in a bad place. She's in a bad place. She wants a child so bad. It's the worst. She's waiting. She's in a bad place. Hashem nochach ishto. Vayetar Yitzchak kama. Hashem nochach ishto. Hashem, please stay opposite her. Please let her continue to see you. Let her lean in on you. Let her not be a warrior. Let her be a warrior. Hashem, uvalacha kol habrachos. Let her still sabenu mituvacha. Let Rivka see what a bracha she still has. First, she's married to me. Second of all, she's building the future of the Jewish people. That she's in a tent, just like her mother-in-law, where the candles stay lit from week to week, and there's a bracha in her challah. Sabenu Hashem, sabenu mituvacha. That's what Yitzchak was davening. Hashem, nochach ishto. Hashem, stay opposite her. No matter what else is missing, let her see you. That's what we're davening for ourselves. V'hi sigucha, that we can chop it, it'll register with us, see it, we'll feel satisfied and gratified by all the goodness, even with whatever is missing. Okay, we'll turn off the recording to continue with opening the floor to any questions and answers, any topic, halacha, hashkafa, life, controversial. We're here to take any topic. For everyone else listening or watching online, stay happy, stay healthy, stay holy. We'll see you next week.